Fed up of flawed robes, driven to distraction and drowning with doom boxes? Tired of living in chaos? Welcome to Decluttering Untangled, how to declutter when you're overwhelmed, ADHD or autistic. I'm going to help you uncover the secrets to decluttering, no matter what hurdles you face. You'll discover how to declutter, de-stress and transform your world. I'm Heather Tingle, reformed hoarder, neurodivergent declutter queen and your guide through the maze of mess. Let's get untangled. Hello, Untanglers, and welcome to another episode of Decluttering Untangled. In today's episode, I'm going to talk to you about what happens when people like me, declutterers, get brought into your home as like an intervention. So, for example, if social services get involved. And this is a response to a question that was posed in my community group. I asked what kind of podcast you guys would like to listen to, and this was one of the questions. And quite a few people were kind of intrigued by how we work and what kind of things happen. And I think it's quite useful to demystify the process and hopefully allay any fears you have, not only if you suffer with hoarding disorder, but if you don't and you just want someone like me to come into your home, like what kind of things happen and how do we work? So that's what I'm going to talk about today. So I get called in generally for when people are in crisis. So it's got to the point where they've survived so long by themselves, never wanted to get help, always been quite concerned, and it's been a hidden secret. And you've adjusted to living the way that you live. And usually it's when something happens, either you've fallen, you've ended up in hospital, or someone professional has come into your home and they've basically raised up the alarm in that they feel that your home is no longer safe for you to either be in, or they want you to take action. So this typically for me happens with, for example, housing associations, parents or family members getting involved because they're concerned, or social services are involved. And I will say things are changing for the better very slowly, too slow for my liking. I would really like to shake up the powers that be and change things a little bit more. But in the past, what's happened before is force clears have happened, and I will cover that in another episode. Or things have been moved very quickly because they've had to be. So the priority has been getting a room that is not dangerous anymore, so that the client can come back into their home, they've got somewhere to sleep, and hopefully they can have somewhere to sit, and hopefully they can cook or clean in their own home. That is the ideal. And then I come in and have to kind of settle everybody back down again and work out what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and try and keep everybody happy. And if I'm totally honest, it's quite a balancing act because I automatically want to be on the side of the client because I understand exactly where you are. I understand how stressful it is. I understand that it's your stuff. And, you know, it's really hard to change your mindset overnight. It's not possible. However, I am also aware that, for example, social services or housing associations have to make sure that you are cared for, that you are not living somewhere that's dangerous or that might put other people at risk as well. So it's kind of sometimes feels like being in between a rock and a hard place, if I'm totally honest. But the moments that you get where things change and everybody is happy are so worth it. So what we would prioritise, entrances and exit, making sure you can get in and out of your home without tripping up over anything or something falling on you. So in case of ambulance crews needing to get in to get to you, or in case of a fire, can you get in or get out easily? Now, this is something, even if you don't suffer with hoarding disorder, this might be a way for you to start your decluttering adventure on looking at your entrances and exits, including upstairs. So can you get out of a window, for example? Can you get to that window? Can you close all doors in case of a fire? Can you open doors to get into rooms if you need to? That would be kind of a starting point. Also looking at things like your boiler. So the amount of clients that I have worked with that have no heating and no hot water is, for me, it's so sad, and it's quite terrifying that people can live like that, because it makes me so sad because they've not allowed someone to come into the home because they're so embarrassed by it. So for us, it would be looking at getting access to your boiler. So services can come in, trades can come in and fix things or update things or do a safety check. And also, if you've got a home that is rented, looking at get access to the electrical outlets, because every so often you have to have a check on the electrics to make sure the electrics are okay. And that's really important if you've got a very full house, regardless of hoarding disorder or not. Because obviously you're at higher risk of having a fire. And if there is a fire, it would be much more devastating to you, not only mentally, but maybe physically too. So you need to be aware of that. I try and start with zoning items. So it isn't easy when all rooms are really, really full. So what we try and do is get items together so that you know what you have, because a lot of the time there are so many different things in so many different rooms and things have just become big piles, big doom rooms. So for example, kitchen items might be in bedrooms, or clothing might be in kitchens, for example. That would be where we would start to move things around to go into the rooms that they should be. That isn't always easy because the rooms that you want to put things in might be a little bit full. So we would look at just gathering items together, maybe putting them in clear boxes so you can see what you've got and you know where that item is. So you then make it a little bit easier for you to see the volume of what you've got, because that will help you decide a little bit about what is, I hate to use the word normal, but what is a normal amount of that item in your home. And it's highly likely that you're aware of the normal amount. The problem is that you didn't know where they all were. Or it might be that you couldn't find them, so ended up buying more. Or it might be that your level of what is a normal volume is really disjointed now and you're not totally aware of it. And that's where I can come in and go, okay, so a normal level of X would be 2. However, you've got 20. Do we think we could get it down to 15? And work really, really slowly for things that are slightly less sentimental. But that is really difficult because of a lot of it is also to do with worrying about lack of. So it might be that you've grown up with nothing and you're very worried that you will go back to that. So being able to see the volume of what you got can make your anxiety lower a little bit, which then in turn helps everything else go a little bit easier. So that's really quite useful. Having less panic over running out can, just that simple action really, can make you calm everything down over a period of time. So often items are scattered all over the place. So this can take many weeks, many months even, to get items together so you know what you have and where it is. And we would also look at changing that one day attitude that we're all so good at. So one day I'm going to do something with it. Okay, so what are you going to do with it? Do you know? Have you got a plan for it? How likely is it that you're going to do it? Now, if you've had that item for 30 years and you don't really know what it is that you're going to do with it, that's fine. We'll put it in with projects. And then there'll be some projects that you've got that you know exactly what you're going to do, but you just didn't have all the stuff together, or you didn't have the space to make the item, for example. Crafters, I'm talking to you. And it'll be that maybe you just need to create a space so you can actually enjoy the things that you wanted to access one day but never got around to. So we look at changing that one day. Sometimes it's just simply that you've not had anybody to help you do it. So you've not had anybody to know where to take an item, or you can't physically take an item because it's too big to carry, or you haven't got a car, so you need someone with a car to be able to take it somewhere, or you were waiting for the right place to give it to someone. So that's where I can come in and help you find that really good exit for the items that you are ready to let go of. We will also get advice from your local fire and rescue service. And that would include putting things like smoke alarms in your home and making sure they're working, and having fire service to support you. And trust me when I say they don't judge, and they are very, very good at their job. And the people that I've worked with in the past are very kind as well. And they are there to support, to help you stay safer in your home. So they might give advice, for example, on ways to reduce the risk. They might give you suggestions to try. They will put smoke alarms in your home and maybe advise on things like carbon monoxide alarms too. And they can advise on all sorts of things that you wouldn't even maybe consider to start off with. So they're a really good help. And it also means that your property will be flagged up on the system. So if there was a fire, they would know that they are coming into a very full home, and they can take appropriate precautions for themselves as well as supporting you as well. And also things like neighbours and things like that. They won't tell the neighbours, obviously, but they might just be a little bit aware that if your home did go up in flames, can you tell I've done a fire safety course recently? Then obviously they need to be aware of that, because so much more combustible items means the flames will burn stronger, quicker, and they need to make sure that everybody is safe. We would look at reducing avalanching and trip hazards. So if you've got a very full home, what can we do to minimise those hazards in place? And it might mean that with your permission, moving things, not necessarily getting rid of things to start with, but putting things into different piles, making it less of a jumble, making it a little bit more organized, making it so the boxes are stackable, for example, and less like individual items to fall. That can really help. And trying to clear paths through so that you don't have to like trip over things all the time. And also looking at things like alert systems. So it may be that you would look at, for example, having, I've seen these and they were really good, having a water alarm, so that if you accidentally left the water running in the bathroom and it started to overflow, it would set an alarm off. Because obviously, maybe the bathroom isn't even used, but maybe the sink is, or it might be that a pipe's likely to burst, for example. And when you've got things like that happening, when you've got full homes, you don't notice it as quickly. It does more damage first before you find out about it. So those kind of systems can be put into place to protect your items as well. I am going to address the word hoard and hoarding, because I think it's got a really bad reputation. At the end of the day, all a hoard is your stuff, it's your things, it's your precious items, and it's highly likely that all of them are very important to you. So I think that the word hoard is the right word to use, but I think people feel really concerned that they don't want to be classed as a hoarder. And also, some people class themselves as hoarders when they're not suffering from hoarding disorder. It might be that you suffer with extreme chronic disorganization, for example, and your home might look like it's a hoarded home, but actually you don't suffer with hoarding disorder, because you can let items go quite easily and quickly without feeling regret or worry or anxiety. It's just you've never had anyone to show you how to do it, or never had support, or you've just been totally overwhelmed. So I think that's really quite important to talk about as well. And one of the final things I would like to let you all know is I very rarely use skips. However, if there is a team working, so for example, there might be two or three declutterers working, because you can make much more quick decisions, and it might be there are bulkier items or items that unfortunately have been ruined by rodents, for example. And so, you know, rat urine is so dangerous. If items have been contaminated like that, they will have to go into landfill, unfortunately. You can't give them away. It's not a case of just putting things in a wash. So a lot of things might have to go in a skip, but I rarely use skips, simply because when I'm working with my clients, I generally work about 3 hours at a time, and there's only so many decisions you can make in 3 hours, and usually that's covered enough by your general waste bin. So please don't think that by getting a declutter involved, you're going to have a big skip outside and people are just going to randomly chuck all your worldly possessions in there, because I can guarantee you they will not. You are going to be the one who's making the decisions. And if at any time you feel bullied or you feel under too much pressure and it's not feeling like a positive experience, you need to make your feelings known. You have to be totally truthful. I will tell you, when I work with clients, we work with all clients, but especially clients with hoarding issues, I care about your stuff as if it was my own. I do not throw anything away. Whether it's broken, whether I think it's ruined, is totally irrelevant. It's your items, you decide. So if you are working with, you've had an intervention, for example, and you know, people are, professionals are coming in and they say, we're going to get a declutter in, ask for initial meeting and get to know that person, because it's really important you find the right person with your personality. I can sometimes be bossy. I can sometimes be very kind. I can be very, very slow. But it all depends on your personality and the way that we're going to work together. That dynamic has got to fit. So you've got to feel comfortable with someone. And that does mean you being truthful, because if you are not truthful, if you feel under pressure and you let go of things, that is not going to help your hoarding. That is going to make life more difficult and it's going to make it worse in the long run. So when something feels uncomfortable, you need to be able to advocate for yourself and say, I am feeling very, very stressed right now. Please make sure that they are aware that you want to be part of the process. You're not disengaging in the process. And it's really important that you tell them that. I am not disengaging. I want this to happen, but this is very difficult for me. I am feeling this right now. My thoughts are these. And get the thoughts out of your head, because the more that the declutterer understands what you're feeling and your thought process, the more they can support you with it and help counteract those really quite detrimental thoughts and feelings that are hardwired into your brain. It will really help us to help you move forward. So be aware of that. And at the moment, there are a lot, most councils have hoarding frameworks in place. So what should happen and how it should happen. And there are some really great companies out there doing really good stuff. So there is Rainbow Red, Clouds End, Hoarding UK, and Hoarding Disorders UK, obviously. I say obviously because I was involved with them at some point. And there is a really great icebreaker form. A lovely lady called Cherry Rudge created an icebreaker form that you can print out, fill out, and take to your GP and go, this is what I'm struggling with. And it tells them everything they need to know so that you can get holistic support, because it is really important to find joy and work with the underlying issues that you have through, whether it's medication, counselling, for example. But you need a holistic approach. So you need to find things that are going to make you happy other than being at home and your stuff. And if you can work with someone to go through the other things that are happening, not just the stuff, it will make life a hell of a lot easier for you. And I think it's also important to know that you need to feel less alone. That is absolutely key. So there are many support group services that you can use to feel less alone. So if you go to any of those companies that I mentioned earlier, I will put the details in the show notes as well. There are usually either face-to-face or online support groups that you can just be part of and listen to other people that suffer with the same issues that you do, have the same challenges you do. And it's just nice to feel less alone, because I know when I had my stuff, I felt very isolated. I felt very ashamed. And one of the first steps to being able to tackle it was letting go of the guilt, letting go of the shame, and letting go of feeling bad at something. And I think that the hoarding support groups can definitely help with that. So there you go. That's today's episode. I hope it's given you some things to think about. If you've got any suggestions for a podcast episode or something that you want to ask and you're not quite sure about, please do pop into my community group and ask that question. And you never know, like today, I might just write or do a podcast on it. Okay, until next time, be kind to yourself and keep untangling. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining me for today's episode of Decluttering Untangled. If you found anything that I've said today helpful, please do me a favour, hit that subscribe button or leave me a review. It's like receiving a virtual high five that keeps me going and lets me know that I'm helping real people out there and I'm making a difference. Please remember, you're not alone in this. I'm building a community of fellow untanglers over on Facebook. Just visit the show notes for the link to my free decluttering community. So until next time, remember, you're not alone, you're not lazy, you can untangle your life.